Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, it's a story taken from issue one of the Summer Weekly, Monocle's summer newspaper, and it's written by Sophie Grove, but read by me, Andrew Tuck. After an afternoon bronzing on one of La Grande Motte's sandy Mediterranean beaches, it's easy to overlook the complex symbolism invested into every corner of this concrete city on the sea. Quotidian objects from fountains to bollards have meaning. In the Place du Cosmos, children clamber on zodiac sculptures, while residents cycle across a raw concrete bridge built to an astrological alignment. The holiday apartments that flank the harbour with a cascade of stripy awnings take their cue from a pre-Columbian settlement in Mexico. Boats pulling into port are greeted by raw concrete planters fashioned into creatures inspired by the figureheads on Viking ships that raided this coastline in the 9th century. This eclectic, cerebral, an at times baffling mélange of French béton and ideology is the vision of Jean Balladur, a Turkish-born architect and former philosophy student who fought with the resistance in the Second World War and wrote for Jean-Paul Sartre's journal Le Temps Moderne. Balladur cited Oscar Niemeyer's Brasilia and Le Corbusier's Chandigarh, as well as ancient Mesoamerica, as influences for the scheme. He saw this commission as a chance to build a paradise lost on earth and assembled a team that included artists, sculptors and landscape gardeners. Balladur's carte blanche had been issued by the French state. The city was part of President Charles de Gaulle's Mission Racine, a post-war programme launched in 1963, which took aim at the wild reaches of France's Mediterranean coast, the marshy, mosquito-infested Camargue. The ambition was to build a series of seaside resort towns. With huge budgets at his disposal, Balladur's vision for an urban seaside utopia began to take shape in the late 1960s. A large marina was dug from scratch, and its 5 million cubic metres of sand was used to level the vast site. Helicopters flew over the grassy swampland, dropping chemicals to rid the area of mosquitoes. In 1968, the first of Balladur's truncated pyramids welcomed residents, now known as Les Grandes Motoires, and a school was opened in the area called Ground Zero for 70 children. As well as small apartment units, there was a camping ground, hotels, and an area of family villas connected by cycle and pedestrian paths lined with pine trees and palms. In 1973, the 15-storey Grand Pyramid rose up over the port, while Mass was said before the congregation of l'Église Saint-Augustin, where an outside terrace allows worshippers to sit under pine trees throughout the service. Balladur and his team continued building bridges and hotels right into the 1980s. Despite this, La Grande Motte's reputation declined until the beginning of the new millennium, when critics began to reassess the city's merits. Like Corbusier, Balladur was inspired by nature, but some of the interventions were very much man-made. Preservation attempts saw many of the buildings restored, therefore, to their original bright white hue. A few years ago, the city commissioned the contemporary designer, François Azenbourg, to create new street lamps and a series of late 60s-inspired fishnet street furniture, which chimes exactly with the futuristic largesse employed by Balladur. Its producers, the family-run Montpellier-based company Oxio, has reissued some of Balladur's original forms for the city too, including his squat metal BB street lamps. Oxio now sells a series of interior objects inspired by the forms of La Grande Motte. There's also a project by Parisian architect François Leclerc to reconfigure and expand the harbour and add a new landmark building called La Colline to Balladur's skyline. The next step in evolving Balladur's vision should be ecological, that there's a need to reconcile the utopian goals of the city with the natural world it colonised. La Grande Motte is hoping to turn its back on the notion of mass tourism and embrace its garden city ideals. There are marine projects to regenerate turtle populations and replant local seaweed. Recently, the city has introduced beehives to stimulate biodiversity. The city feels verdant. White concrete buildings are surrounded by acres of green, and semi-wild white indigenous horses graze on the fields near the golf course. Perhaps Balladur's utopian vision came good after all. You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.